Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
If I asked you to name for me someone that you know who seems to create strife and turmoil, discontent, misunderstanding, and division wherever they go, you could probably produce a name fairly quickly. We all know people like that. If, on the other hand, I asked you to think of someone who promotes peace and joy, unity, harmony, and well-being wherever they go, you could probably also come up with another name, because most of us know someone, or many people, I trust, like that. Which would you prefer to be around? Well, that's a pretty dumb question. We all know the answer to that one. Which of these two would you prefer to be like? And I hope that also is a question with a clear answer. And what do you need to do to become like that? Do you have the foggiest idea? And if I could show you from the Word of God, would you be willing to apply yourself? Because that's exactly what Pastor James talks about in the closing two verses of James chapter 3, where he tells us how to recognize and develop genuine, godly maturity. Having told us previously how to identify counterfeit spirituality, or counterfeit Christianity, as I believe is basically the same thing, he now goes on to tell us what genuine Christianity, or Christ-likeness, or spirituality, however you want to identify it, is and how it can be developed. So, stay tuned on this Friday, June 22, and don't forget how dependent we are upon you, our radio listeners, to maintain this Bible teaching ministry on this station. True spirituality. What is it like? James 3:17. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. That's a pretty good list, isn't it? What is genuine spirituality like? Well, here's the description. What is being described? The wisdom that is from above is what he says, but the wisdom that is from above, now you remember, that he said earlier in verse 15, this wisdom does not descend from above. So now he contrasts that with this when he tells us in verse 17, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, and then he lists a number of other things. What was the wisdom that was not from above? Back to verse 14, but if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic, for where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. So the kind of religion, the kind of Christianity, the kind of spirituality that is characterized by envy and self-promotion and creates confusion and activities that are contrary to the Word of God, that doesn't come from above. In other words, people who represent that have not been born again, because what does it mean to be born again? More literally, born from above. Except a man be born from above, said Jesus, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. So when a person is born from above, he is given wisdom from above. And here's what it looks like in James 3:17 in contrast with these human, man-made efforts at spirituality, which really are counterfeit spirituality, which don't come from above at all. They are earthly, sensual, and demonic. And so we have a list of the characteristics of godly wisdom, thoughtfully and memorably constructed. It's a beautiful list, very poetic, similar to the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5, though not identical, but a similar list. And it tells us that the Holy Spirit communicates divine wisdom, that is, Christ-likeness, that looks like this. The wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. There are either seven or eight in number here, depending on one of them, whether it is a compound or can and should be separated. But let's take them one by one. What's the first one? Pure, purity. The wisdom that comes from above is first pure. Here's the prerequisite to true spirituality. Purity is first on the list. It is most important. It is, I think we could say, foundational to all of the others. Why is that? Because God is pure. God is holy. And therefore, this comes first, and everything else must build upon it. Without this, nothing else can develop properly. It is first pure, that is, clean, undefiled. It shrinks from contamination. It shrinks from envy. It shrinks from party rivalry. It shrinks from worldly wisdom. It desires moral blamelessness. It desires moral purity. And of course, it requires divine cleansing, because we, as fallen sons and daughters of Adam, have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We are not pure in ourselves, but we can be made pure by the cleansing blood of Jesus Christ, by the work of justification and sanctification. Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood. There's a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. First, pure. And having been made pure by the regenerating work of the Holy Spirit and by the justifying work of God's legal justification, having been given the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ, we who have been born again are in the process of progressive sanctification. There is a continued work of purification that goes on within us. We must continually resist the pollution of the world in which we live. And those who have been born again do exactly that by God's Spirit working within us. Moral impurity does contaminate us. And covetousness and envy and anger and gossip and slander and a bitter spirit, all of these things and many more contaminate our soul and make us impure. But the wisdom that comes from above is first pure. And then following that, there are four attitudes of true spirituality, which are, number one, it is peaceable, number two, gentle, number three, willing to yield, and number four, without hypocrisy. Peaceable, that's second on the list. But since the first one is foundational, I put it in a category by itself, and then I look at the remainder of the list, and I see that the next four are attitudes, and the first of these is peaceable. The wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, or peace-loving, an attitude that desires and cultivates peace. And how is that accomplished? Well, first, by restraining personal anger and strife. You cannot cultivate and develop peace if you are angry inside. There seem to be a lot of angry people in our world today. There seem to be a lot of people who live in unrelenting anger. They have it seething up within them. It's just near the surface. It boils over frequently. It can be touched off by almost anything. They seem to be going around just looking for opportunities to explode, to vent their anger. And that characteristic, it seems to me, seems to be growing and increasing in our society. No surprise when we realize that our society seems to be moving farther and farther away from God, away from the Bible, that true Christianity seems to be having a diminishing influence upon American society. We have more and more people who are either no professing Christians at all or professing Christ, don't seem to give much evidence of knowing Him truly in a saving work of the Holy Spirit's regeneration. And so a lot of people are filled with anger. They're just angry all the time, arguing all the time, shouting all the time, looking for opportunities to vent their anger, looking for opportunities to organize. Every slight becomes their slight, and they're ready to rally, to occupy, to march, to parade, to join some kind of a movement, to scream and shout and demand and vent their anger, which never accomplishes anything except just making more turmoil and confusion. Where envy and self-seeking exist, we read in verse 16, confusion and every evil thing are there, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable. It desires to promote restored relationships with other people and between other people. What do I mean by that? Well, it starts with its own relationships. If I am going to be peaceable, then I am going to endeavor to cultivate peaceful relationships in my own life with the people that I have relationships with. That means I desire to cultivate them in my home, with my spouse, with my children, and with my extended circle of relatives, with my in-laws, with my siblings, with my cousins, with my aunts, with my uncles. My desire is to cultivate peaceful relationships with all of these people, and of course with the people that I work with, and the people in my neighborhood, and the people in my church. True spirituality cultivates peacefulness. Jesus said exactly the same thing, didn't he, in Matthew 5:9. Blessed are the peacemakers, because they shall be called the sons of God. Who is a son of God? In other words, who is a Christian? A peacemaker. Who is a person who is the opposite, who stirs up strife? A person without true spirituality. Until next week, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.